Track, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
America is experiencing a caregiving crisis in elder care, but there's a unique solution to the problem. Here with the details, InfoTrack reporter Roy Mackey. Roy?
Thanks, Chris. Dr. Jeffrey Gussoff is an assistant professor of family medicine at the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA, and he was the study's lead author. Professor, just to set the stage a bit, can you briefly explain what home care cooperatives are and how they differ from traditional home care services?
Sure, thank you. So home care cooperatives are a unique form of business in the home care world, where the people who own and run the business are the caregivers themselves. And this is a really important and unique model in home care because oftentimes these workers really aren't treated well. They experience low wages and disrespect. And so this model makes sure that the caregivers, when the company profits, they also profit. When decisions are made, they're at the table. And as a result of this way that they set up the business, these cooperatives have shown that they have half the turnover rates as traditional businesses. They pay their workers $2 more an hour, and they keep clients at twice the rate as regular businesses.
I would guess that many people listening have never heard of home care cooperatives. How common are they?
They're a small fraction of the overall home care workforce, but they're growing dramatically right now. So the first home care cooperative started about 40 years ago in New York City, and they've grown to now have 1,500 home care workers there. And right now there's about 22 home care cooperatives across the country, but there's already about a dozen more in the pipeline. So it's really starting to take off as a model.
Your study found, as you mentioned, that cooperatives have half the turnover rates of traditional agencies. Can you maybe name some specific reasons that contribute to that lower turnover?
Yeah, that's exactly what we were trying to figure out in this study. What is going on that's so different from other places? And we really, by asking home care workers in this study what they thought was causing these differences, they really highlighted four things: compensation, control, community, and a culture of respect. Basically, they were saying that overall, the money that they make is more, both in terms of their wages and in terms of benefits, because when the company made money, it went to the workers in one form or another. They felt a stronger sense of community, which is so important because caregivers are often working in very isolated settings. So at the co-ops, they made an effort to have people connect and be together, even though they work in different places. The culture of respect was much stronger. Workers just felt that they were treated better because they were co-owners of the business. And they also just had a lot more control over things like their schedule, policies at the workplace, and the clients they got matched with. So these are the things that made the biggest difference to the workers.
Can you maybe expand a little bit on how caregivers in cooperatives experience more control and how that is translated into patient care, maybe improved patient care?
One of the things we see across different workplaces is that when workers feel they have more control, they are happier and they do a better job. And so this is an area where co-ops really shine, in that workers, because they're the co-owners of the business, they're making the decisions about what policies they have at the business. So for example, how they can get the necessary protective equipment that they need, what to do if something happens with a client. So they're really setting the policies. They're also having a bigger role in figuring out the patient's care plan. If something changes, someone has a fall, someone has an injury, they need a different level of care. The caregiver who spends the most time with them is able to make that change. When we talked to workers, they said that simply wasn't happening in other places. So that increased control over policy, over their schedules, over the care plans really made a difference in terms of the care they were able to provide. And workers just felt better about their jobs.
You mentioned also a culture of respect and a sense of community in these cooperatives. Can you maybe explain how that makes a difference in patient care?
Absolutely. I think we all know from our experience at jobs that being disrespected is really discouraging and makes you want to leave. And even though these workers are so appreciated and they're doing such valuable work for the clients, it's very common that in the care team, the other people working in the care team don't see them as part of the care team. And that's different at co-ops. Because they co-own the businesses, they make sure that the workers there are treated with respect. Many of the supervisors, the managers, have been caregivers themselves. So it's just built into the culture that people see the value of their work. And in terms of community, I mentioned before that caregivers, because they work in client homes, they don't really often get to see each other. It can be very isolating and also scary to have to figure out problems without other people being there. And what is able to happen at co-ops is they have these mechanisms of peer support and supervisor support at a higher level that exists in other places. So people really feel part of the team, part of the community. And when they get into a difficult situation, they know they have someone they can call. So it really makes a big difference in terms of them wanting to stay and being able to provide a higher level of care.
Our guest on InfoTrack is Dr. Jeffrey Gussoff, Assistant Professor of Family Medicine at the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA, and he was the lead author of a study that was examining home care cooperatives. You mentioned that the cooperative caregivers are paid about $2 more per hour. Does that mean that cooperatives cost more than traditional home care agencies?
That's a great question. One of the remarkable things that we found is the answer to that is no. They really are basically paid the same rates, either in the private market or by Medicaid. And the difference is that instead of that money going in profits to someone outside of the cooperative or a single owner, it's going to the workers themselves. And so it's a solution that basically costs the same as traditional home care businesses, but more money ends up going to the workers.
From a broader perspective, why is the caregiver shortage such a pressing issue for older Americans right now? And what could happen if we don't address it?
Yeah, this is a huge issue that we're facing in healthcare, and it ultimately comes down to a supply and demand mismatch. So the demand for paid caregivers has never been higher. We know that we have millions of older adults who are seeking to age at home, and a lot of times that requires having a paid caregiver. And at the same time, we have a massive shortage among caregivers for the same reasons I mentioned earlier. They receive the lowest wages in healthcare. Their schedules can be very uncertain. And the disrespect is a real issue that people have a hard time staying in these roles, even if they love the work. And so we're seeing that we need 800,000 more caregivers over the next 10 years, but we're actually losing caregivers currently. So that's why we looked at the cooperative model and similar approaches to make sure that we can fill that gap and meet that need going forward. Because if we don't, people are going to end up in nursing homes, hospitals, settings that they should not be in, but just for lack of having the support they need at home.
Are there specific practices that traditional home care businesses can learn from these cooperatives?
Absolutely. I think prioritizing the caregivers in a variety of ways can go a long way. So one thing is just trying to make sure that wages are as high as they can get them to be with all the other demands within the agency. And it looks like from what we know from co-ops, there is room to at least somewhat increase those wages, even within the current constraints. Also making sure that the approach to supervision is collaborative and respectful. I know a lot of places seek to do that, but co-ops are really leading the way and showing that that culture of respect and support can really be inculcated throughout the organization. And they've been able to kind of develop a model that others can learn from. And so I think that those are very important things. And also hiring internally or people that have caregiving experience, because I think having people who are managing and supervising who know what it's like to be a caregiver really makes a difference in terms of supporting those caregivers.
What role does the government play in this in terms of setting policies that might encourage more of these cooperatives?
One of the main challenges that cooperatives face in terms of growing, you might ask, if this model is so successful, why isn't it more common? The biggest reason is funding and financing. Because as you might imagine, if you bring together a group of caregivers, they don't necessarily have a lot of financial resources to start a business on their own. And if they try to go to a bank to take a loan out, a lot of the banks don't understand, well, how do you have all these different owners? What is this cooperative model? So the government can go a long way in terms of investing in cooperative-specific financing and making sure that the tools that exist for other small businesses also exist for co-ops. So things like being able to take out loans or assistance with that, but also technical assistance that really understands the needs of these co-ops. So that would go a long way. But I think the biggest thing now is looking at compensation for caregivers and making sure that through Medicaid and other resources, that this is really a focus, because ultimately it will save money, but only if you have a model that makes sure that that money ends up with the workers and improves the care of the clients.
For caregivers or families listening who are considering this, what advice would you give them about locating a cooperative nearby or maybe learning more about them?
This is a situation my family has been in, and it is a very stressful one to try to find a caregiver that you know you can trust. So this model is expanding rapidly. There's some places, New York, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, that have very established home care cooperatives, and many more states, I think we're past 20 states, that have cooperatives that have developed in the past few years. So I think if they just search home care cooperative, also they can look at ICA Group, which is a national organization that helps develop these cooperatives. They can see a map to see if they have a co-op in their area. And if they don't right now, I recommend checking soon because they're continuing to grow. But to really trying to connect with the home care cooperatives in their communities, because if you have a co-owner coming to your home, it really does make a difference.
Dr. Jeffrey Gussoff, Assistant Professor of Family Medicine at the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
Next, going from depressed to joyful. That story as InfoTrack continues.
Don't go away. InfoTrack will be back right after this.